Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Let me also welcome all the students back from college and university. Glad to have you in the service today. We trust the Lord will bless you over the summer months. We'll have a time of rest and refreshment. And indeed, as you renew fellowship with God's people here, that the Lord would bless you. Thank you for your prayers for me as I went to the week of prayer, the minister's week of prayer. We had a very good week. The Lord did meet with us. It was a good spirit in the meetings. The word was each day was very timely. I was rejoicing in that time. I was sorry at the last minute Dr. Saunders couldn't go, but nevertheless, the Lord met with us there in Greenville, and truly we give him praise. I come to Matthew chapter 11 today. The words at the end of this chapter have been much upon my heart. I want to read from verse 25, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to the end. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts today, and we trust the Lord will come and minister to us. I want to focus on verse 28 alone today, where the Lord says, come unto me. Come, find rest. Been thinking very much about the invitations of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope to pursue that study in the days to come. Christ inviting men to himself. He is gracious, he waits to bless, and he offers life and salvation. In this context, and just before, we have a withering denunciation. The Lord is really pronouncing woe upon those who reject his gospel. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He had a message of life, a message of hope. He called men to repent. He did miracles in their sight, and yet they refused to follow Christ. And he said, woe, woe unto you, Capernaum. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Chorazin. If those things that were done in your cities, in your towns, in your villages were done in the likes of Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago. And so there is this withering denunciation. But in the end, Christ is merciful. He's long-suffering. And we find in the end of this chapter a tender invitation. Come, nevertheless, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. With God's word open before us, let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to thee now. And we thank thee for the word of the living God. We pray, Lord, that we would lay hold of thy word this day. Lord, take hold of us. Open our hearts to your truth. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has the tongue of the learned, who is able to speak a word in season to the weary soul. And we know, Lord, that this is a word for all. It is a word to the sinner, to the self-righteous. Come unto me. It is a word for the saint. May we ever be reminded to cast our cares upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is one who cares for us. We pray for your blessing now upon the preached word. We ask, Lord, for the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of reconciliation, joining hearts, souls to thyself. Lord, hear our cry. Give help now as we look to thee. We are poor and needy. Think upon us, Lord. Cause thy face to shine upon us. Come, stir up thy strength, and we shall be saved. Hear us now, we ask, and do us good in Jesus' name. Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Very familiar words to each and every one of us. Here is the tender invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been thinking much about the inviting Christ and the invitations of Christ as he invites men to himself. You go through the Gospels, you find that word time and time again. Come, come to me, come and see, come and dine, come, follow me, come, take up your cross, come. The inviting Christ. And I was reading again a little gospel tract by J.C. Ryle, simply entitled, Come. And I would recommend that to you all for your reading. It's a very good little tract. And in that tract, J.C. Ryle asks four questions regarding this text, regarding verse 28. He asks, first of all, who gives this invitation? Who gives the invitation? Well, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He invites. He says, come unto me. And then secondly, he asked, who is invited? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And then thirdly, he asks, what are those invited asked to do? Simply come. Come unto me. And then in the fourth place, he asks, what is promised to those who do come? Jesus says, I will give you rest. Come, find rest for your souls. This is a divine promise. The promise of God. It's Christ speaking in this place. And of course, we know the promise is only as good as the one who makes the promise. It used to be you could accept the word of a gentleman, of a man. When he gave you his word, he made a commitment. There was no signing contracts, simply a handshake. And his word was good, but that is not true today. We live in a lying world, a world of liars, deceivers, cheats, con artists, scammers, seeking to take for themselves, to get to themselves. And so the value of a promise, the value of a promissory note, depends entirely upon the one who signs his name to it. And here the Lord Jesus Christ gives a divine promise, one we can depend on. Who makes this promise? Well, it is Christ himself. This indeed is the word of a gentleman, the God-man, the only mediator between God and man, one who never breaks his word, one who always fulfills his promises, one who never fails to do what he undertakes. He never disappoints the soul that trusts in him. The soul that trusts in Christ will never be confounded, will never be disappointed. And so we can depend with confidence upon this word today. Because Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God of truth. He is the sovereign Lord. We are told in this place that all things are delivered into his hand. Mighty as he is, as great as he is, there is one thing Christ cannot do. He does not and he cannot lie, because he is the God of truth. And when the Lord makes such a promise, we need not doubt. We can depend upon this word today. He will stand by his word. He will perform his word unto us. He has that authority. He has that ability, that glorious majesty and power. And we're reading in this place of the excellent majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are in his hand. And so we can trust his word today. I want us to note here the tender invitation of Christ. He says, "Come unto me." Here is the sovereign Lord God that made heaven and earth equal with the Father, the one who is over all things belong to him. He upholds all things by the word of his hand and the word of his power, and he is the one who has made all. The Lord God of heaven and earth, the Lord of hosts. And here he says to us, "Come unto me. Come unto me." We read in Colossians 2, verse 10, that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him. We are made full in him. All the fullness of the Godhead resides in him. He's of the very same essence as the Father. He is one with the Father. He is God. God manifest in the flesh. Again, in that place in Colossians 2, we read that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is full of grace and truth. And he says, as the sovereign Lord God, "Come unto me." You see, no one knows perfectly what you need like Jesus. He is over all. He upholds all. He knows all. The Father knows and Christ knows. And there is in Jesus Christ an inexhaustible reservoir of grace for the supply of the soul. And so he says, "Come unto me." Look at verse 27. Christ says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." He's the sovereign Lord. All things are delivered unto him. He knows the Father perfectly. He knows the needs of his children perfectly. All things are delivered unto him. And he knows exactly what we need today as Lord and God over all. J.C. Ryle, in that little gospel tract, "Come," he said, "The Lord does not bid the laboring and heavy laden go and work." Those words would carry no comfort to heavy consciences. It would be like requiring labor from an exhausted man. No, he says, "Come to me." Nor does he say, "Pay what thou owest." That demand would really drive a broken heart into despair. It would be like claiming a debt from a bankrupt. And so he says, "Come unto me." He doesn't say, "Stand still and wait a while." That command would only be a mockery. It would be like promising to give medicine at the end of the week to one who is at the point of death now. No, he says, "Come unto me." Come at once, come without delay, come unto me. And as sovereign Lord, he has and he knows what you need today. And freely he offers this word of promise to the weary soul, to the weak, to those who labor, who are pressed down, overwhelmed, crushed, to those who are heavy laden, sinking. Christ says, come unto me. So this is a tender invitation. But it also tells us something else. It tells us, secondly, that Jesus Christ knows your situation. He knows your circumstances. Yes, He is sovereign ruler, but He's also the sympathetic Redeemer who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who knows our weakness. He is indeed the man of sorrows who's acquainted with grief. And He knows me. He knows you today. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your down sitting and your uprising. There's nothing hid from the Lord. I've been meditating again upon Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a wonderful psalm. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. And he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy presence? There's no hiding from the Lord. Whither shall I flee? The Lord is over all, and the Lord knows all. And the psalmist in the end of that chapter in Psalm 139 says, it is a prayer, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Know my heart, know my thoughts. Those anxious thoughts, those despairing thoughts, those overwhelming things, the things that trouble us, the Lord knows. You see, all things are naked and open before Him, Hebrews 4:13. There's nothing hidden from the Lord. He is the God with whom we have to do. And He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And friend, today, He knows where we are. He knows what we face. He has suffered Himself being tempted. He knows our anxious thoughts. He knows our fears. He knows our trials. He knows our temptations. And He invites us, each and every one, to find refuge for our souls in Him. It's in Christ we must rest. We must be like those who gathered together unto David when David fled from Saul. He fled for his life as Saul attempted to kill him. David was troubled. He escaped from Saul's presence. And he escaped to the cave Adullam, and there he found refuge. And we read in 1 Samuel 22 and the verse 2, that everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves together to David, to the cave of Adullam, and they made him a captain over them. And friend, today, that's what we must do. We must make the Lord Jesus Christ our cave of Adullam. We must go to Him to find refuge for our souls when we're weary, when we're in distress, when we're discontent, when we have that murmuring spirit, when we are upset, weighed down, pressed down, in fact, beaten down is the word, laboring and heavy laden. We come again to Christ, the captain of our salvation. We rest in Him. No one perfectly knows your needs like the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a tender invitation. It tells us that Jesus Christ knows our situation. He knows our circumstances. Whatever your circumstances may be today, whatever the things that overwhelm you are, the Lord knows. He knows. You may not understand what the Lord is doing. Just like Job, Job 23 and the verse 10, you have to confess, the Lord knows. He knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I may not understand completely, fully, what the Lord is doing, but he knows. He is sovereign Lord. He is in control. And I'm going to trust in him to bring me through because he knows my circumstances. And I'm not to be overcome by the circumstances. I'm to overcome in Christ. In Christ, we can be more than conquerors. The Lord said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Yes, it's true. Don't count it a strange thing. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Christ must be the captain of our salvation. So he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. But then thirdly, this truth that Jesus knows is a manifestation of his loving concern for us. It's a tender invitation. It tells us he knows our situation. But it's a manifestation of his love, his concern for us. This word is addressed to those who labor and are heavy laden. Where are they? They're everywhere. They're here today. Those who labor and are heavy laden. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And everywhere you find sorrow. You find care, you find anxiety, you find uncertainty, you find trouble, you find discontent, you find unrest. It's everywhere because man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. It's our lot at times. And everywhere you look, you find men and women searching, laboring, heavy laden. They're laboring to find peace. Laboring to find rest. All that labor and are heavy laden. Of course, we know the reason for all this trouble. The root cause, of course, is sin. It lies at the foundation of all trouble. Sorrow, mourning, grief, anxiety, fear has all come into the world as a result of sin. And many are pressed down. Many are crushed by that load of sin that weighs them down. And they're like pilgrim in the Pilgrim's Progress, not knowing how the burden that they carry upon their back can be relieved. How can they find deliverance from this burden that they carry? They labor, they're weary, searching, seeking for peace. And here is the great burden bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, coming, inviting, offering relief. He says, come unto me. I will give you rest. How can he say that? He can say that because he is that man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. He can say that because we read in Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Our sins, our iniquities were laid on him. So the trouble that we know because of sin, the misery that we endure, that we continue in, is a result of sin. How do we find relief? It's in Christ. He says, come unto me. I will give you rest. He has, and he knows what we need. And he so willingly here reveals the way of salvation, the solution to human sin and misery, that sin and misery that causes men to be burdened and heavy laden. He has the answer. And He opens up the way. It is the way of humble trust, of childlike faith. He reveals it unto babes, to those who put simple trust in Him. And so, looking away from self, turning from sin, turning to Christ, in humble submission is the path that must be trodden. He says, come unto me, I will give you rest. It means humbling yourself and coming in childlike faith to the Lord. You must look to Christ if you are to live. You must come to Him if you are to have this rest, a rest for your soul. And this is really a manifestation of His love. We were reading in 1 John 4 of the highest form of love, the highest degree of love. In this was manifested the love of God. That Christ Jesus came into the world to be the propitiation for our sins, to release us from the penalty and the condemnation of sin. That we would no longer be under the wrath and the punishment of sin, but we would be released, knowing remission of sins and reconciliation to God. Come unto me. It's the only way, Christ says. And as you look at this text again, you will see there's a tender invitation. He knows your situation. It's a manifestation of His loving concern. But you will see also there is this full expectation that when you come, there will be that comfort, that refreshment, that rest, because He gives rest to the weary soul. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, be my disciple, follow me, I am meek and lowly in heart, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come, find rest. There's something certain here. I will give you rest. I will. Just come to me. I will. Just seek me. And those who seek me with their whole heart will find me. There's a full expectation of His coming to the heart, coming to comfort, coming to refresh the weary soul. You know, the world seeks rest. It's what the world wants. It's what we all want. Rest, peace, contentment, satisfaction. The world seeks rest. It wants rest, but it never finds that rest, that satisfaction, because they look in all the wrong places. And so often we are busy looking in all the wrong places for rest. When Christ says, all the while, come unto me, I will give you rest. But we go to our dear friend, we go to the pastor, we go to a counselor, we go to try all these other things, we go to the world, we go to amusements, we go to parties, we go to alcohol, we go to things seeking to find rest, trying, searching, laboring, but we never find it. When Christ says, come to me, I will give you rest. It's so simple. And yet we stubbornly resist. We persist in sin. And here is the authoritative answer of Christ, the living Word. Come to me, I will give you rest. You'll not find it anywhere else. It reminds us of the word of Christ to His disciples before His departure. In John 14, verse 27, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world's peace is fleeting. It is temporal. It is shallow. But my peace is substantial. It is real. It is satisfying. Come unto me. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Stop being troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Come find rest in me. Do you notice here He says, I will give you rest. It is rest for your soul, or it is rest for yourselves, body and soul, the whole man, the whole person. You will find complete rest in me, Christ says. So what is the nature of this rest that Christ gives? It's not just ease for the body. It's not just the indulgence of the flesh. J.C. Ryle points out, it's not mere repose of the body, because a man may have everything in this life. He may pamper the flesh. He may have a palace to live in. He may have food in abundance. He may have everything, money, land, whatever it takes, and still be miserable. Not have this rest for his soul. You may place him in a palace, surround him with every possible comfort. You may give him money in abundance, everything that money can buy. You may free him from all care about tomorrow's bodily wants so that he lacks nothing. Take away the need for laboring, for working. All this you may do to a man and yet not give him true rest. And thousands know this too well by bitter experience. Their hearts are starving, he says, in the midst of a world of plenty. Souls are hungry. The inward man is sick and weary, while the outward man is clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fares sumptuously every day. Yes, a man may have houses, lands, money, soft beds, good fare, and yet not have true rest. And the Lord says, come unto me, I will give you rest. And the rest promised here is an inward thing. It's a spiritual rest. Rest for your souls. Rest for yourselves. Yes, preeminently for your soul. There's that freedom from disturbance within the soul. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No disturbance of soul, because your guilt is removed, because your sins are forgiven. And the hand of condemnation that was upon you has been removed. You're released from the wrath. Your sins are forgiven, and you have the blessed peace of reconciliation, because you've been joined to Christ and you have peace with God. Rest in your souls. The assurance that your sins are dealt with. You've settled that matter with regard to your soul. And so there's the absence of uncertainty. There's assurance. There is comfort, the absence of fear, the absence of anxiety, even despair and hopelessness. When you rest in Christ, peace of mind and peace of heart. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26, 3. Stayed upon Jehovah. What Jesus is really saying is that simple trust in him, childlike faith, and obedience to his commands out of gratitude for salvation gives delight to the soul. It brings peace and it brings joy. The peace of Christ, not like the world's peace. It's an inward thing, a spiritual thing, a peace rest in your soul. But no doubt there is a positive effect upon the body as well. Upon the entire man, rest for yourselves, body and soul. William Hendrickson, the commentator, said, the authoritative advice of Jesus is not only good for the soul when heeded, it is also a great benefit to the body. The rest, peace of mind and heart, which Jesus here provides, is the very opposite of the aggravated mental stress that sends so many people to doctors, to hospitals, and to death. Absence of peace, whether in the form of anxiety and vindictiveness, that lust for revenge, to get even, that eats up the soul, may lead to many things. It affects the body. And I've personally seen it in my ministry, as short as it is, over these years. Ulcers, high blood pressure, heart attacks, sleeplessness, depression, lack of appetite. Because there is guilt upon the soul. And the teaching of Christ here, if taken to heart, they have a curative effect on the entire person, soul and body. Why is that? Because He is a complete Savior. And all the effects of sin He can take away as we trust in Him. And here is a word in season. Christ said, "The Lord God hath given me." In that prophetic word in Isaiah 50, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." And here is the invitation: "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Just come. And Christ says, "I will give you this rest." But still, you're like those in John 5, verse 40. "Ye will not come. Ye will not come that ye might have life." Why will you not come? Christ is inviting you. Why is that? How can you wait? How is it with us? How is it that we wait until we are backed into a corner, until our backs are against the wall, when we hit rock bottom? It's only then we come, when Christ is inviting us all the while. "Come now, come without delay, come to me, I will give you rest." Are we too proud to come to Christ? Do we know better than Christ? Are we willing to surrender our heart and our life to Him? Is there that humble submission? Is there something better out there for us? Surely those who have been in the world will say no. "We tried the broken cisterns, but the waters failed." Is there some other way to peace? Christ said, "I will give you rest." Do you desire that rest of soul today? And yet you know not where to find it, where to turn, what to do? Jesus simply says, "Come to me. Cast your burden upon me. Cast your sin upon me. Lay your guilt upon me. I will give you rest." There's only one place it can be found. There's only one place of satisfaction. Education will not impart it. Worldly amusements, material things will not impart this rest. Money will not purchase it. It can only be found in Christ. None but Christ can satisfy. And if we were to know this peace, we must come to Him. We must take this path. And the Lord says, "Come at once, delay no longer. Come without dread or without fear of being refused. Without that fear of being denied. Because him that cometh," the Lord said in John 6:37, "I will in no wise cast out. I will not turn you away. I will not refuse you. Come and I will give you rest." He's waiting. He's inviting. He's calling you to come. "Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out." Friend, there's no need to go anywhere else today. No one else can meet your needs like Jesus. There is no need to go to anyone else or anywhere else or to anything else. Jesus can meet your needs. He knows exactly what you need today. And if burdened souls are urged to come to Christ, He must know. And He must be able to satisfy those needs. He doesn't give this promise in vain. He says, "Come and I will give you rest." He's the sovereign ruler, the Lord of heaven and earth, equal with the Father. All is in His hand. and He's ready to bestow it upon you. His arms are outstretched, waiting for you. He says, come to me. He's the sympathetic Redeemer who knows and has what sinners need, and He freely offers the gift of life today. And God's benefits are received by faith. Coming to Christ is really believing in Christ, believing on Christ. And faith in Christ alone is that which delivers the soul, whatever your situation today. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, incline your ear. Come unto me, Christ says, hear, and your soul shall live. Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear, come and hear. Just stop. Listen. Do you hear the speaking voice of God today, lovingly calling you to Himself? See that ye refuse not Him that speaketh. Or is the call of the world so loud that you do not hear the tender call of Christ to come? You're so drawn away to the things of the world. And what a dreadful thing it would be, friend, today, if Christ were to be silent unto you. And yet He is merciful. He's striving with you. Here is a word of promise He speaks. He invites, come unto me. I will give you rest. If Christ were silent to us, we would be like those who go down into the pit. What a miserable place that would be. But God speaks. He reveals Himself. He reveals the way of life. Here in His Word, He has shown us the way. Come to Him. Do not stubbornly persist in sin, refusing to heed the wisdom of Almighty God. Coming to Christ is coming in simple faith. Believing on Christ is coming to Him. Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. When you turn empty to Christ, you will be filled. When you cast yourself upon Him, He is able to hold you up, to hold your soul in life, and your feet will not be moved. He will sustain you. And real heart rest is never to be found except in heart union with Jesus Christ. You will never be satisfied until you know something of the rest that is in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts today. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this glorious promise today, these wonderful words of life. Christ has said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can know that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray today that if there be one who is laboring, one who is seeking, searching for rest and satisfaction, that You would deliver them from their sin, draw them to Yourself. May they see the manifest love of God for them, that God so loved them, He gave Himself at Calvary to bear their sins. We thank Thee, Lord, for taking our place, for bearing the cross for us, that we would be delivered, freed from the wrath to come. We thank Thee, Lord, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So we pray today, Lord, may we delight in Thee. We may make much of Christ, blinded by the grace of God, as we behold the beauty of our Savior, that we would be overwhelmed, overawed by the Lord Jesus Christ as we consider what He has done for us. Draw us to Thyself, nearer to Thee. We thank Thee for the invitation to come near. The law condemns us. The law makes us to be those who are fearful, those who cannot draw nigh because of sin, but Christ makes us acceptable to the Father,
and we can draw near in Christ. And so we call upon thee today, Lord. Receive our thanks for this time in thy house. Continue to be with us today, and may we continue in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Lord, we ask that you would continue to speak by your word to the hearts of men and women. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.